Blog Talk Radio.
Michael A. Baskin from the Baskin Law Group. Michael A. Baskin, I'm pretty sure the A stands for amazing, because not only is Attorney Baskin proactive in the community, but he's also the best at what he does. Attorney Baskin recently secured the policy limits of a $1.25 million wrongful death case, and then he turned right around not even a week later and won a three-year battle against Kroger. Can you believe that? So what we're going to do, yes, that is cause for applause. We're going to discuss those three highly emotional days in court regarding that, how Kroger was deceptive in their inspection practices. We'll talk about what every consumer needs to know about a slip and fall. And finally, we'll open up the lines for Attorney Baskin in a segment that I call Ask Baskin. So let me go ahead and bring Attorney Baskin on in here. Attorney Baskin, are you with us?
Good evening, Racine. Glad
to
be with you.
Hey, good evening. Nice to have you. Thanks
for
coming back on Money 101. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Before I get started, Attorney Baskin, I just have to thank Maxine Jones. She's the former founding member of InVogue for extending the invitation to me to use this as yet another platform for me to communicate with people. I love doing my shows like the Money 101 that I'm doing tonight and Conversations with a Black Man, because it gives me an opportunity to share imperative information with our community. So that's why I appreciate you so much for coming on tonight, taking time out of your busy schedule to share your knowledge with us. And with that being said, Attorney Baskin, what have you been up to? You are a very busy man.
Well, I suppose you can say we've been a tad bit busy lately.
Yes. So I was telling my listeners that, well, first of all, our focus will be the Kroger win. But can you tell us briefly what you were doing, you know, what happened a week or so before that with the other case?
Yes. That case involved a wrongful death of a 64-year-old male, husband, mm-hmm. father, grandfather. Mm-hmm. A driver that we think was under the influence of alcohol and drugs collided with his vehicle head on, and he died.
Oh my gosh!
Instantaneously, at the scene, and mm-hmm. we were able to. His wife, by the way, is an amazing mm-hmm. Woman, strong African American woman. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing lady, and we were happy and very pleased to be able to assist her and her family, especially at this time in their lives. And we were able to secure $1,250,000 for her.
That's great.
We hope that that will put her in good stead. And it was the actual policy limits. I might add that 6 months even before that, I guess we've been mm-hmm. on somewhat of a roll. We secured mm-hmm. a $2.5 million settlement in another wrongful death case as well. And for a young lady whose mother died in an accident. This young lady is a 20-year-old. And
oh, my gosh.
We had to, in fact, not only secure the $2.5 million for her, but we went the extra mile to ensure that the monies were secure. So she would, her future would be secure well into her latter years. And I'm happy that, given the circumstances, that at least her mom can rest easy, knowing that her daughter will be well taken care of for the rest of her life.
Exactly. Wow, Attorney Baskin, you have been busy. And, you know, I guess situations like that is bittersweet, but it's, you know, so necessary. And, you know, thank goodness there's someone like you with your skills and expertise to actually help these people out in their time of need. So, you know, that's to be commended. So,
well, we appreciate
okay,
it. And that's what we do. And that's what we've committed our practice too, in fact, helping families throughout Georgia. And when we say we fight for our clients, those folk who have, we've had the privilege of representing, I think they can attest to that. We literally fight for our clients. And and I think that's why we've established the reputation that we've established over the years. And I'm very proud of that.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now to switch gears a little bit to that three-day highly emotional Kroger trial. You know, when I saw you in action, it gave me a heightened appreciation for what you do in the courtroom, you know.
Well, I appreciate that.
But I know, yeah, I understand it was a three-year battle. Can you tell us how that began?
Yeah, this case actually started back in January 24th, 2014. With our client, who is a Air Force veteran, one of the first African Americans to head up a radiology department in, at a major hospital, he did what he would usually do. He went to his favorite grocer, which happened to be Kroger, and on that day, on January 24th, 2014, while shopping in the store, he slipped in what was thought to be a puddle of water, and basically severed his rotator cuff, tore his rotator cuff. And Kroger denied the claim. In fact, Kroger was very steadfast in their denial of this claim. And so we set out to prove that our client was, in fact, had done everything that he should have done, and it was no fault of his own. Kroger fought us, and with all of their resources, it was the classic David and Goliath. As you can well imagine, Kroger has a great many resources that it can throw at any litigation, and it elected to do that in this case. But I like to think that we've been through the David and Goliath many a time. So We were prepared to deal with it the long haul. And I might add, you know, in a lot of cases like this, when, and I say this to your viewers, you need to make sure that you're careful, in fact, who you go to initially with your litigation. Because a lot of law firms would have, in fact, basically withdrew from representing our client.
And I noticed that. So why would they have withdrawn? Can you explain why?
Yeah, simply,
you know,
because
that would be
most of these firms that advertise, their model is to, in fact, churn, what we call churn. It's important that they turn these cases over quickly. And they have very little error for cases that will, in fact, be protracted litigation. And, in fact, many of the firms that you see on TV don't even do their litigation. They farm it out. So as a result, if they can't settle your case soon, or if the insurer, or in this case, Kroger, denies the claim, they're not going to be interested in representing that person. And that's what distinguishes the Baskin Law Group as well. When you come in the door, if we accept your case, we accept your case, and we do battle to the end. We believe in the Lomaxes, both he and his wife, because the amazing thing at the time that Mr. Lomax, who was our client who fell in Kroger, his wife also maintained a lawsuit against Kroger for loss of consortium. And for your audience, a loss of consortium is basically where a spouse has been deprived of the love, affection, and companionship of someone who has been injured. And
right.
She maintained the claim as well. So we represented both Mr. and Mrs. Lomax in this case. And that battle waged for 3 years in Douglas County. And for those of your listeners who are native Atlantans
mm-hmm.
or familiar with the metro area, they know Douglas County is a very conservative county.
Right.
And
right.
Is not known for giving large verdicts of any kind.
Right.
Especially slip and
so
falls.
So you knew.
So we
that
knew
you would not
going
have
in
an easy
that.
Road. Yeah.
We knew going in that we had to, in fact, ensure that all guns were blazing and that we made
mm-hmm.
a strong and convincing case to these 12 jurors. And I think we did just that by the
right,
outcome
right.
of the case. But
exactly.
In the course of this case, Racine, what we found was that Kroger took the position, quite frankly, that it had, in fact, complied with all of its inspection policies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in
well,
stores.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, let me pause you right there, Attorney Baskin, that because I want them to understand, when you took on the case, what was your first step in saying, okay, we need to find out what happened? What actually took place? As far, you know, I know, but for the sake of the listeners, what did they give to you, or what was their first steps?
Any slip and fall case, part of the due diligence of any counsel is to determine several things, and one in particular,
mm-hmm.
Under the laws of Georgia, we have to prove certain things, and one of
okay.
the things we have to prove is knowledge that the landowner or the proprietor of the store had superior knowledge to the guest or the customer.
Okay.
And what that means in simple terms is that if there was a slip and fall in a store, you have to show that there was an employee in the immediate vicinity of the
okay.
water or whatever the hazard was who
right.
who saw or should have seen the hazard. That's an absolute must. If you can't show that in Georgia, your case is going to be thrown out. So that was the first thing
right.
we had to establish early on, is that there was some Kroger employee in the immediate vicinity of the area. And,
okay, and I just want to reiterate that for the listeners. So to get that straight, so at, say, you know, myself or one of my family members, we go into an establishment, we happen to slip and fall, and, you know, no one's around, but we're, you know, hollering, okay, we slip and fell. So you're saying that that's not good enough?
That is not good enough. If no one's around and if you can't
mm-hmm.
show that Kroger had superior knowledge to you, then the law
mm-hmm.
says that you're out of court. You don't have a claim. So
right, and that's very important.
One thing that we always advise the public, you know, be careful in terms of giving that initial statement, whether it's a
okay.
car accident or whether it's Kroger. Because remember, Kroger and the insurance company, they're not your friend. They want
right.
you to give a statement with the hopes that you're going to say something that absorbs them from liability. So
mm-hmm.
so to all your listeners, if you're ever in a slip and fall, and if someone asks you just right off the bat, if in fact, if there was any employee in the general vicinity, whether you knew
mm-hmm.
or not, just simply say yes. Because I
okay.
can assure you, after we look at the videotape, if there's tape, we're going to find that that was true anyway. So instead
okay.
of saying, I don't know or no,
mm-hmm.
you know, ensuring that your case is going to be dismissed, just
say yes.
I think there was someone, I passed
okay.
someone, and chances are some member
yeah,
of the staff did pass you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So you said you have to first prove superior knowledge, and then what was the second step that you said you actually had to take with this case?
Well, one of the things that, you know, once you establish that under Georgia law, that at least protects you from without getting into a lot of legalese. That ensures mm-hmm. that, you know, they can't just summarily throw your case out. But more importantly, that's where the hard work starts at that point. Because you then you have to demonstrate that not only did they have superior knowledge, but they could have and should have, in fact, rectified the hazard, whether it's water, whether it's a grape on the floor or whatever. But mm-hmm. banana peel, you've got to establish that. And a lot of times, most of the grocery stores, especially the major chains, will always have video. And that's mm-hmm. that's something else that your viewers should always be mindful of. You can rest assured as soon as you walk into that store, you're on video mm-hmm. from the time that you're in that store until you leave the store. There are about 60 views throughout the store in most major grocery stores that will capture you in various stages in that store. And the store will, in fact, go back and retrace your steps to see what you did, how you did it, and the like. So be very mindful of that.
And Attorney Baskin, that was what was so intriguing to me when I was a witness, not a witness, but, you know, onlooker, a supporter at this trial, because your use of the video footage as well as, well, can you explain what happened and how you used that video footage to prove your case as well as the falsified report?
Right. Kroger took the position, quite frankly, that it had, in fact, done what's called a sweep. And that's literally what it means, that they went through the store and they swept the floors and ensured that there was nothing, debris or any other foreign substances on the floor, at least 30 minutes before Mr. Lomax fell. And mm-hmm. they doubled down on that by showing that they had an electronic report that showed the person that, in fact, did the sweep, the time that she did it, and the time that she completed it. And that they were very, very, they brazenly paraded that report as evidence
that Mr. Lomax did not have
fallen on any water that they should have known about. So if he fell on any, it wasn't there but for a couple of minutes, and if it was there for a couple of minutes, they weren't liable. What we found out from Kroger, and it's not as simple as I'm going to make it sound, but when Kroger, we asked for the video, Kroger mm-hmm. gave us a lot of video, a lot of video.
Okay.
And it took my staff literally probably 40 to 60 hours going through video, piecing
my
together.
Goodness.
Exactly, you know, where people were, what happened,
mm-hmm.
and we put video together. We, in fact, brought our experts in who, in fact, mm-hmm. did a video putting it together in real time to show that not only did Kroger not sweep the floor, but it, in fact, falsified documentation, this electronic report indicating that it, in fact, done a sweep. It was falsified. Mm-hmm. It was fabricated. It was bogus. They had not, done a sweep, and we proved that through their own video. The person that Kroger said that was doing the sweep, we showed that was this young lady was actually at the front of the store bagging grocery.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we, in fact, showed that to the members of the jury.
Right.
And pointed out to them that, you know, in fact, I might add, you know, we dubbed this entire litigation Krogergate. You know, because of all the lies and deception that Kroger had engaged
Shocking.
In, it was truly a Kroger gate. And we were successful in demonstrating to the jury that Kroger had falsified, that the manager had lied about
mm-hmm.
doing a visual inspection behind this phantom or ghost sweep. And I think that was very persuasive to the members. Even in Douglas County, a very conservative county.
Exactly.
I think
so
that video
words,
was powerful.
Yes. In other words, Attorney Baskin, if you had not gone and did the 40, 50, 60 hours, you would have, assumed you're going to be satisfied with their falsified inspection report and, you know, just keep it moving. But you went that extra mile, pieced together the video timeline, and you're saying that you proved that that inspection report was indeed fabricated.
That's exactly right. And Racine, you're absolutely
wow.
right. Kroger was confident that no one was going to spend that amount of time
mm-hmm.
going through all of the video that it submitted to prove that. Obviously,
they didn't know what they had on their hands
but,
with Baskin Law Group.
Well, I think they know now.
They know now.
At the time, I don't think they believed that
mm-hmm.
we were going to invest the time and effort to
right.
Go through it frame by frame.
Mm-hmm.
To show that they had not, and I think that's the lesson to your listeners. Don't
mm-hmm.
assume simply because the store is telling you that they've done A, B, and C. If nothing
right.
else, this case proves that major grocery chains, just like Kroger, you know,
mm-hmm.
engage in deceptive practices to, in
mm-hmm.
fact, thwart valid claims. And in this instance, they were prepared to, in fact, deprive a 75-year-old man who had done nothing, fault of his own. But
mm-hmm.
they went through Krogergate mode the day of the incident and falsified that report, submitted it, and said that, you know, they had, in fact, done the sweep when, in fact, they knew they had done
wow.
no sweep. They knew
that
the manager
yeah.
had not done an inspection. And, in fact,
mm-hmm.
the produce, this slip and fall happened in the produce area. They
mm-hmm,
even had
mm-hmm.
the produce clerk lie, and we proved through the
right.
video that he didn't do a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to, in fact, using Kroger's own video
mm-hmm.
to prove that they were just blatantly lying. And I
yeah,
think the jury
yeah,
didn't take kindly to that, even a conservative
right.
jury in Douglas County.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, when I'm witnessing all of this happening and I saw how emotional you were about it, the faces on the jurors, you know, the people were crying because it was so, you know, you just really impacted the whole case, you know, how you laid it out, how it would be the information was overwhelming, you know, that Kroger was deceptive. It was just powerful, you know, that was just powerful. It, to the point of the jurors gave you, what was it, $100,000 more than what you originally requested, correct?
That's correct. The jurors awarded Mr. Lomax $500,000 when we had,
mm-hmm.
in fact, asked for $400,000. They awarded his wife, Patty Lomax, $200,000, so
yeah.
A total of $700,000. And it was brought to my attention by the judge's staff that $700,000 is one of the largest verdicts in Douglas County for
wow.
Slip and fall case.
That says something within itself right there, Attorney Braxton.
Yeah.
Wow. So if someone doesn't go to you after hearing that, they're just plumb crazy. But,
well,
you know, what I wanted to ask you about, touch on, is in the closing argument, he brazenly suggested that Mr. Lomax staged his own fall. What was going through your head at that point when
well,
that came
you
out?
We knew that the defense had to come up with something because I think we were pretty effective from beginning to end to show that they had lied and they covered up and Krogergate
mm-hmm.
was real.
Mm-hmm.
So as a last ditch effort,
mm-hmm.
counsel, you know, presented this what he quote unquote termed as a plausible argument that Mr. Lomax staged the slip and fall, tearing his own rotator cuff,
ridiculous,
suffering
yeah.
a severe concussion on the hard towel. That was his argument. But, you know, it's one thing about our judicial process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 9 times out of 10, jurors get it right.
Right.
You know,
right.
They listen attentively. You know, mm-hmm. and I think these jurors, and we had a diverse body, you know.
Right, yeah.
Half of the jurors were Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
The other half was African-American, I think.
Right,
but
yeah.
these jurors were very attentive about right. all the evidence. And throughout
mm-hmm.
the trial, they were taking copious notes throughout. And
I noticed that.
Yeah, you know, I believe they were insulted by counsel's suggestion at the very
mm-hmm.
end. And
mm-hmm.
if you will recall,
yeah.
I didn't let him off the hook on that. I reminded the jurors
sure
that
mm-hmm.
this was the first time in 3 years that we had ever heard anything about Mr. Lomax putting water on the floor and causing
Crazy.
His own
yeah.
accident. And what was even worse is that it was a desperate move on counsel's part
mm-hmm.
because I had asked
mm-hmm.
a key witness, was it their position that Mr. Lomax placed any water on the floor of any kind? He
exactly.
unequivocally
sure
said
did.
No.
Uh-huh.
So for counsel
mm-hmm.
to come up with that desperate move, I think it just incensed the jurors even more, and I think that was the reason,
right.
quite frankly. Well,
mm-hmm.
frankly, I think the jurors awarded the $100,000 because – believe it or not, there was a juror on our panel who had suffered
mm-hmm.
a rotator cuff.
Yeah.
And I think he convinced his colleagues that, you know, $500,000 was, you know, probably more appropriate for the pain
right.
and suffering
yeah.
that
That's
he had gone
through. That's painful, rotator cuff. Yeah. My
right.
mom went
so.
Through that rotator cuff surgery, and that, you know, it was, even though it's a one-day surgery, you know, one outpatient surgery, that is a painful surgery process that it changes your life, you know.
And I think the jurors appreciated that, too, and they didn't take very kindly to counsel trying to deflect and minimize
right.
the effects of that surgery. I just
yeah.
don't think I think my colleague was in a very difficult position, and
mm-hmm.
any way he went was just not going to bode well for him. And it's my job
right.
to ensure it doesn't bode well for him. And I think, you know, we brought all that to bear in that
right.
In that courtroom. And as you noted, by the time I finished with my closing, there were people in the gallery crying, and there were jurors
oh,
crying.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's
I
what,
my
that's part of the skill in terms of being a strong advocate for your clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's what we do, and that's what I'm noted
yeah.
for.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
bring
it's
the facts home. You bring them in a meaningful
mm-hmm.
way that your jurors can relate to, and
mm-hmm.
that's why it's so important that, you know, your clients be forthright and have credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have
right.
credibility, you know, people will believe in them, and if they
you're
believe
right.
in them, they will generally come your way. Nobody likes
right.
a liar, you know.
Exactly.
No one likes a
exactly.
liar. And what
yeah.
we were able to do is to prove that everybody that was associated with Kroger were liars,
yeah,
and falsifiers
yeah.
of documents. And
mm-hmm.
I think the public should be outraged to know that a chain that, you know, most of us have, you know, grown up to respect
mm-hmm.
and revere as being, you know, one of those entities in the community that's upright, outstanding, and forthright. And to know
right.
that they're engaging in these kinds of deceptive practices is just
mm-hmm.
completely unacceptable and outrageous. And I think the community should be alarmed and aware that
exactly.
They, too, can be subjected to this.
Right. And, you know, just like you mentioned to the jury, you know, this could be any one of them or any one of us for that matter.
Yep.
So, you know, and even when I was, you know, talking to people, it could be your dad. It could be your granddad. But, you know, I was just worried about the fact that, you know, it's Kroger and maybe someone might just feel that because it's a name brand, you know, you have to trust the brand, and they wouldn't do that, you know. But like you
yeah,
said,
and that's sort of the reason why we went through there's a method to our madness when we are approaching
uh-huh.
any case. And we have identified all of those things that we had to address right up front, just straightforward, forthrightly. And that was
mm-hmm.
one of the issues, as well as conservative jurors in Douglas County doing the right thing and awarding hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you do that early on, and you try to, you know, get jurors to admit their biases early on by just, you know, not dancing around. And if you recall, I didn't dance around a couple things, you know, because I went to the jurors and basically told them, Kroger is basically relying on you to extricate them from any liability. They thought that a Douglas County jury would never find or render much damages to this African-American couple. Now, I did it in a clever way as opposed to, you know, just, you know, not to make it a racial issue. But, you know, it was the big elephant in the room. You know, insurance companies all the time, you know, they count on if you're in Douglas, if you're in Cobb County, if you're in Gwinnett County, they always discount your damages because they believe that those jurors in those particular areas are not going to be plaintiff friendly.
You're right.
And that's what we were up against in Douglas County. It's no doubt, you know.
But you
work was
you
cut
knocked
out
that
for
out
us,
the
but
box. Yeah, like I said, you knocked that out the box and you proved that wrong. And you know, and you're genuine, your genuineness and your passionate, your passion for the case, it showed through every day of the trial, 3 days. And I'm sure you have that zeal the whole 3 years because, like you said, you hung in there with your client for those 3 years when another law firm would not have had that longevity.
No,
so,
we believed in the Lomaxes. These are good people, honorable people. And like I said, you know, the other thing that was going on in this case that made it even more emotional was that Mrs. Lomax was just going through breast cancer, and she was taking the most severe chemotherapy when her husband became incapacitated, and he could no longer care for her. And she then, going through chemotherapy, had to, in fact, as best she could, with her hair coming out, weak, had to take care of him. And so when you say $200,000, $200,000, you know, upon reflection, is not a lot of money if you think about, you know, what she had to go through at a very vulnerable time in her life, and to lose the love, companionship, and affection of her rock. And her rock is, without question, her husband. And you can see the love between these people. They've been married for some 48 years. And so it's easy to fight. You know, we fight like that for all of our clients, but it was even more, it was easier to fight for this couple because they're what's right about, you know, good Americans, good Georgians.
Yeah, and then
you know,
good character. They had such good character, you know. All he explained his life, his background, and you know, and was as was mentioned, the counsel for Kroger, he didn't dare even cross-examine Mrs. Lomax.
And that was probably a wise strategic move on his part. I mean, he wouldn't have gotten any points from asking her any questions. If anything, he ran the risk of pissing off the jurors. And so I think that was a good strategic move on his part.
Even
but we didn't let it go. We exploited it, obviously, but it was probably still good. It would have only been worse for him.
Well, Attorney Baskin, that was you are actually to be commended for that. I mean, to go up against and fight for that elderly couple, that is just amazing, you know, how you prevailed in that case. Now, let me ask you this, switching gears once again. What I know that was a slip and fall, but what types of cases are your specialty? What do you specialize in at the Baskin Law Group?
Well, the Baskin Law Group has two sides of the house. We have a very active personal injury practice that involves motor vehicle accidents, which includes semi tractor trailers, We've had several seven-figure settlements with semi-tractor trailers, as well as other motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, obviously. We also, one of our first cases back in 2001, 2002, was a negligent security case at an apartment complex where a young lady who was a student at the AU Center was raped in an apartment complex.
Oh, my gosh.
And we represented her, and we were able to get a very substantial settlement after some vigorous litigation. So we handle those kind of cases, as well as if you've been, you know, obviously, let's say that you're out in a nightclub and, you know, unfortunately become injured by somebody else's intentional act. That's what we call a negligent security. The owners are, while they are not guarantors of your safety, they do have an obligation to ensure that their premises are kept safe and you're kept safe from known violence or entities that would have the propensity to cause violence. So that's those are the kinds of cases we handle on one side. And then the other side of the house is just our general business practice. We serve as general counsel for several companies, which a couple of our clients are faith-based organizations, from doctors. We represent one of the largest bulk mailing print companies in the Southeast. Contractors, so it varies. We encourage sole proprietors and small businesses to reach out, because in today's business, if you don't have the benefit of counsel, unfortunately, you're not going to do very well, because everybody that you're dealing with, let me assure you, they will have a Michael Baskin or two reviewing, drafting everything that you know that comes before you. And you don't want to be that old adage trying to be, you know, your own attorney. And, you know, you should concentrate on what you do. Whatever the core, your core business is, that's what you do. You, you know, find counsel to ensure that you have a competitive edge, or you're at least leveling the playing field by having your counsel there to review, draft your documents, contracts, and to, in fact, advise you. And what a lot of folks think, Racine, is that they can't afford it. We've proven that to be a myth, because from our philosophy is that we like small businesses, because if we're doing what we need to do to help them grow, they're going to grow into larger businesses that benefits not only them, but quite frankly, if we were going to be selfish, it benefits us as well. So that's part of our approach to our business sector of, of the practice. We enjoy assisting smaller businesses and helping them grow and to become all that they can be. So, yeah, there are two sides of the house, and again, albeit the personal injury side is the more flashy and gets the bulk of the attention and media attention. Our business practice is very strong, very solid, because, you know, when I started as a young attorney back with King and Spalding, that's what I did. I represented major corporations, Fortune 500 corporations, primarily GM at the time. And and when I later became one of the youngest general counsels in the country, when I was appointed to become the general counsel for AU, later Clark Atlanta University, you know, and I might add, I had hair at the time when I started.
Look, but, I don't think they care.
Yeah,
as long as you win.
My background at that time was business, representing businesses, and even on the international level, we did the Child Survivor Project with a contract, $10 million contract with the Egyptian government. At the time, it was cutting edge kind of negotiations to do that with an international nation, and I was lead counsel university in getting that done. So we've got a plethora of experience in business, contract, negotiations, review, and the like.
Well, with that being said, Attorney Baskin, my phone lines are lit up right now. I want to have my little Ask Baskin section of the show. So if you want to ask Attorney Baskin a question, please press the number 1, and we will get to you, and you will be able to talk to Attorney Baskin live on the show right now. So if you're holding to ask Baskin a legal question, press number 1, and I will. That will be equivalent to raising your hand, and I will go ahead and tune you in so that you can ask him a question. So, Attorney Baskin, while we're seeing if anyone wants to ask you a question, I will tell you, we are big time, because I have someone that is actually listening in from Saudi Arabia right now, and he wanted to make sure he got his question to you.
Sure.
So, yeah, so if Baskin Law Firm wasn't big before, they're big now, huh? Now, he's working over there on a work contract, but, his family and everyone is situated here. He just left a few weeks ago. He wants to know, let me just find this. I want to make sure that I stated it correctly. He purchased a home. Okay, he says, let's see. If you lived in a subdivision and months after you moved in, builders came and built additional houses and created a homeowners association after they were done building, are the people that lived there prior to obligated to join the homeowners association if when they moved in there was initially no homeowners association and they never signed up for one? So he wants to ask you that, Attorney Baskin.
Yeah, well, let me first put a disclaimer in that that's not my area of expertise, but having been a president of a couple of homeowners association, I do have some experience with that.
Okay.
The answer in short is no, unless there was some kind of covenant with the original builder that allowed for future associations to be established. And if there was a covenant, that covenant runs with the, even though there was not one at the time, the covenant is what we run with the land, run with the property. So they would stay regardless. But if there were not any covenants, and this new entity just came in and said, we need a homeowners association.
Okay.
He would either be able to opt out or if he had an opportunity to opt in. You know, I wish I could talk to your listener, because it would be interesting to see if the new homeowners association was trying to force him to become a member, which I don't think
that's
they
true.
Can do legally.
Okay. Now, Attorney Baskin, before we even continue, I do have someone else online. Can you give us the number to your office so that people can contact you? And
you can contact us a couple kind of ways. The number is 404-880-4156. Mm-hmm. Let me repeat that. 404-880-4156. You can also go to our website, which is www.baskinlawgroup.com.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so they can call you 404-880-4156 or baskinlawgroup.com.
.com. Correct. www.baskinlawgroup.com.
Okay, great. Now, if you have a question for Attorney Baskin, press number 1, and I will definitely get to you. Attorney Baskin, are you ready for your first live question from someone?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, this is Racine. You're on with Attorney Baskin on my Ask Baskin section. How are you doing, and what's your name?
I'm fine. This is Latrice. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, Latrice. How are you?
Hi, Latrice. How are you?
Addison, hey.
How are you guys?
All right.
I know
you have a question for
to call in today, and I totally it lit my mind. But I want to ask if it's okay on the air. When you have a slip and fall, as you know, it is the hardest thing to find an attorney that will take your case, a very good attorney.
Mm-hmm.
What channels should you take if you found, let's say, one of the TV attorneys that you see posted everywhere, and you dial that number and you're not satisfied with the services that you're getting, and you've reached statute of limitation because they have filed litigation paperwork incorrectly? Do you allow them to continue your case, or do you freeze up because you don't want to lose out on your case?
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent question, Latrice. Let me just answer it this way for the listeners as well. Typically, if you're not satisfied with any attorney, you have the right to fire that attorney. And you simply do it by just sending the attorney a letter saying, I no longer wish you to represent me. All right?
Mm.
Now, typically, that's before anything is filed. Latrice, you just indicated that they filed a complaint on your behalf?
They did. They filed paperwork to the owners of the complex that I fell at.
Okay.
But they filed it incorrectly. The guy said,
have they dismissed that, or is it still pending?
That person dismissed it. I forgot the name of the paperwork, but that person dismissed it and said that they filed it incorrectly. So I was told, quote unquote, that they have to re-serve this person. Now I've had to help them find this person, and I can call you later and go in detail. But I've had to help them.
Well, look,
social media is magic.
Well, the first thing that's wrong is we don't typically have our clients helping us find or locate our defendants.
Right. Yeah.
That's why we have investigators to do that.
Investigator failed, and I located the other party, and they claimed that it was filed.
Well, you're the best kind of client.
I don't play. But my question is, because I know that they can put liens and things of that nature.
And that's exactly right. That was
file.
The next thing that I was about to get to. If you filed a lawsuit on behalf of a client, you can still fire that attorney. And the lien that the attorney would have at that point is to receive an hourly rate. It wouldn't be entitled to a percentage. He would have to establish the actual hours that they had expended on your case. But they would, in fact, be entitled to recoup that at any verdict or settlement that you might get. That's the difference. Before a lawsuit, we're not entitled to anything. We just lose. It doesn't matter what we've expended if we have not filed the lawsuit. But once we file a lawsuit, we then that lien is perfected at that point, and we have a right to be protected up until the amount that we've expended in terms of actual hours.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So say that unless this firm is just horrendously bad, and depending on how much time they've spent, that's what you would have to weigh in terms of whether it would be worth them getting, you know, a fee to, extricate yourself from their representation of you. But
gotcha.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because you see all the commercials on TV about all these attorneys that, you know, let me tell you that, you know, I'm not going to badmouth my brethren, but be careful about running to attorneys on TV. And I think people in our community, you know, do that right off the bat. And I can tell you, we get a lot of those cases from TV attorneys where folks not happy with how they're being treated and the level of representation that they're getting.
Exactly.
So you want to know that you're going to a law firm that, one, that you're going to be able to talk to the attorney. And not to just paralegals and other staff. You also want to know that you're going to have a firm that's going to stand with you and fight for you, you know, even when it gets difficult, and not want to just cut you loose. You know, that's very important. We see that happening a lot with, quote-unquote, TV attorneys. Because, again,
exactly.
That's not part of the formula for them. They've got, they are paying $25,000 a week for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So that means
mm-hmm.
that they've got to turn those cases around quick.
Yeah,
and if you're turning
exactly.
cases around quick, that might mean that you're not all the time, but you might not be doing the best thing that's for your client. So
right.
you just
and
want to
you
make sure
like
that you're going someone that's less flash but more substance.
Mm-hmm. Just like I posted
so I guess
up,
that was,
do you like the jingle or do you want to win? Basically.
Exactly.
What it boils down to.
And the jingle is what I had to fall for because it was so many attorneys that were afraid of slip and fall. So that would lead to the next question, like, how do you find that attorney that is not afraid of a slip and fall? Because those are harder to prove if
exactly.
nobody
and,
out of the family.
And frankly, Latrice, you raise another interesting point because in Georgia, a lot of firms will not take very enthusiastic about taking slip and fall cases. But a lot of those attorneys, and that's why it's important to know the quality of the attorney. Those attorneys don't know that the laws have changed in Georgia. You know,
mm-hmm.
Most attorneys were very reluctant to take slip and falls because, frankly, the laws in Georgia were so onerous on proving your case. But the laws have changed now, and it's a lot easier to maintain those cases. But those are the same attorneys that don't know because they don't
right.
keep up with the changes in the law.
Exactly.
So,
they just worry about getting
some of our
client.
Largest some of our largest settlements, quite frankly, have been slip and falls.
Wow.
And we've had them against Kroger, Publix, you know, all of them.
Exactly.
I'm talking about six-figure settlements. So, you know, we don't
right.
shy away from any claim as long as the facts are right and our clients are right. And
right.
when I say our clients are right, you know, one thing I demand
mm-hmm.
from our clients is that you be forthright. You
right.
know,
exactly.
You know, the worst thing you could do to any attorney, but especially to me, is lie to me. Because here's
mm-hmm.
why. I'm going to fight, and I didn't get the nickname Bulldog just because somebody thought I looked like one. I got it because, you know, that's how we go about our business.
Right.
And when I'm
right.
out there doing battle, I want to make damn sure that our clients have been forthright because the worst thing you could do is go out
mm-hmm.
and do battle and find out two-thirds down the road that your client has lied to you.
Exactly.
You
know? Now, Attorney Baskin, I have one more person on the line that wants to talk to you really quick. Uh-oh, somebody has an alarm going off. Latrice, thank you so much for calling.
Sorry,
matter of fact,
thank
Latrice,
you.
If you want to talk further, just give me a buzz at the office, dear.
Right.
I do.
And
I
want to thank you so much, Latrice, for calling in. You have the event Girl Let It Go, a women's empowerment event. That's on March 25th, correct?
I do.
Okay, great. And I'm hosting that event, so I'm really excited about that. So we want to thank you so much for calling in. Tell us really quick who's the speaker lineup for that event.
Let's see. We have you. We
mm-hmm.
have Shateya. She is a motivational speaker. We have Lady
mm-hmm.
Breeze. She does poetry. We have Ty Hall. She is a massage therapist. She does professional athletes and celebrities.
Okay, great.
And we have Larissa Barclay, and she does well.
Wow, so you have a full lineup. Latrice, thank you so much for calling in, and contact Attorney Baskin.
I will. Thank you.
All right, great. Have a good night. Now, my next caller, are you ready for them? Attorney Baskin,
yep.
We'll make this the last one.
I'd like to try to get as many
on.
In as I can.
Okay, cool. Hi, you're on with Racine and Attorney Baskin on our Ask Baskin section. What's your name? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hi,
yes,
are you
sir.
There?
Good afternoon. This is Danny Gray. I had the opportunity to sit in on your session, attorney, and it was great. I am
right.
Oh, hey,
and Danny, let me say again, we appreciate you and everybody else that came out to lend moral support to the Lomaxes. We think that's vitally important that the community come out and rally in instances like this. So kudos to you. We appreciate you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I felt my support was very much needed. It could have been my father, my grandfather. It could have been me. So I have two questions for you. So two-parter, they're very short. One, what are your thoughts on retainer fees for a slip and fall case or something of that nature? And two, what is a good attorney fee percentage that you should expect for an attorney to take your case?
I can tell you that typically your more established attorneys across the board are going to be in any slip and fall a minimum 35% of any case prior to trial, and it'll probably go up to 40% if it's if a lawsuit is filed. So you can expect that to be standard across the board. Pretty much. And in fact, our standard rates are 35% and 40%. 40% if we're going to litigation. And I might add, so your viewers can understand, when we're filing lawsuits, the lawyers are taking on all of the economic liability. You're not paying anything. And in fact, you don't pay anything. So if the case for some reason was thrown out and we had $25,000 invested, and you're like, Attorney Baskin, I can't pay you $25,000. Well, you know what? You don't have to, because we take on that risk, not you. So sometimes it's important to understand that. And you do want those attorneys. And let me say this to your viewers, because I've had this occur. You know, when I was a young attorney, I don't think anyone would dare come up to me at this point with it. But when I was a young attorney, you know, some people would come up and want to negotiate fees. I would never do that. And I think when you find an attorney who's prepared to do that, you need to go find another attorney. Because if that attorney negotiates his fees, you can rest assured you're not going to get 100% of that attorney's effort and time. It'll never happen. You know, so you need to be wary of that.
You
want an attorney.
You
want an attorney who's going to fight for you, be there for you, and somebody who has the wherewithal and experience to get you some success. And in another life, I was a professor for 12 years. I taught business law, educational law. And what I used to always tell my students is, it's always about getting paid. I don't care how you feel about it. At the end of the day, it's who's getting paid. Right? And in this business, our form of our judicial system is, we can't turn back the hands of time and make that injury disappear. The only thing we can do is make sure that you're adequately compensated. And that's what we do very well. We make sure that our clients are adequately compensated.
Exactly. So you don't want to come in there trying to, you know, haggle your lawyer to go down on their fees. You want the best service possible. So, hey, go with the flow and pay for the best.
But, Danny, I think hopefully that answers your question. Typically, you're looking at 40% for a personal injury case. And if you're on the business side, that's the other good thing about us. We're very flexible. And that's why I say that there's a myth out there that, you know, small businesses can't afford counsel. Yeah, you can. All you need is a law firm that's willing to work with you with retainers. And we're very creative with our retainers, especially for our smaller businesses.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that.
And thanks again, Danny. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Danny, tell the viewers the name of your book, and because you are an author.
Oh, yes. My name of my book is Dedications Price, located
Price.
On all major, on all major book outlets. And also I'm working on my follow-up book, Dedications Revenge. Thank you.
Okay, so hopefully my listeners will check that out. Thanks a lot, Danny. Have a great night. Well, Attorney Baskin, once again, you have given us a wealth of knowledge. You know, I learned a few things tonight. So if I'm ever involved in a slip and fall, there, you said there has to be an employee in that immediate vicinity. And if someone asked me, my best answer is yes, I think there was someone right around me.
I think that's absolutely correct. And just before we, just for your viewers, let me pass this on in terms of automobile. Bill Land, just check your policies and make sure that you have what's termed as medical pay. If you don't have that, make sure that you contact your agent and get at least $5,000 to $10,000 worth of med pay. It's pennies on the dollar, but it will do wonders in protecting you if you're ever involved in a automobile accident, whether you're at fault or not. It pays for your medical bills, and that's something that I encourage all my clients to ensure that they have. And believe it or not, Racine, we have almost a third of Georgia drivers driving without insurance. So it's important that you check your policy to make sure you have uninsured motorist coverage as well.
Yeah.
And you want at least $50,000 of uninsured motorist coverage in your policies.
Right.
But we can go through that another time. I'll commit to come back, and we can talk about some of the general things that the public should ensure that they're, you know, they're doing as it relates to motor vehicle.
Sounds good to me. We'd love to have you back, too. Exactly. So, once again, everyone can reach you by calling 404-880-4156. That's your office located downtown Atlanta. Or either
we're conveniently located right north of the Hard Rock Cafe in Peachtree Center. Been there for the last 14 years.
Okay. Or they can go to www.baskinlawgroup.com and find out more information about what you do, the services that you provide, and have you to represent them if they want to win. Right?
I couldn't have said it better.
Thank you so much, Attorney Baskin. Once again, thank you for coming on, taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me. And I'm looking forward to my next Ask Baskin section.
And let me thank you, and let me thank Maxine for providing this wonderful platform to the public so we can educate the public on things that they should know. And this Kroger litigation certainly is something that I think all our general public should be aware of, so you know they can speak out and be aware of that and not become a victim. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure, it's a definite eye-opener. The whole thing in general, in totality, was a very huge eye-opener for me. So I appreciate that. Well, I wanted, like you already thanked Maxine, I want to thank Maxine Jones for giving me this platform to share information like this with the community. I want to thank Attorney Baskin for coming on tonight, taking time out of his schedule. Latrice Gaddison called in, Daryl Gray called in, and I had a listener out in Saudi Arabia. So, Attorney Baskin, you're big time now.
Well, I'm glad I finally made it.
All right. Well, I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in. Until the next time, check me out, Racine Ties Live. And Money 101, Conversations with a Black Man. Check out my book, Success Looks Good on Me. And till next time, have a great evening, everyone.
Thanks. Good
night.
Good night,
Attorney Baskin.